This is CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor. Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. In an election cycle with the death of President Raisi, there is a choice to be made by the Supreme Leader and his lieutenants. However, the choice that is in front of us is the aggression by the Islamic Republic against its neighborhood, against Israel, against the United States, and especially because it is always suspect nuclear weapons program combined with its ballistic missile authority. All of this has been known for some time. What is new, I welcome John Bolton, writing most recently at the Wall Street Journal, to help me understand. The Europeans have panicked. Finally, they've panicked. John, were you surprised to hear this, that the Europeans finally want to get a stick out and whack the Ayatollah's hands?
Well, it is very surprising, and good news. It only took them about 9 years after the deal was put into effect to realize it was ineffective. In fact, the deadlines in the original deal are about to run out, so it was going to expire pretty soon anyway. But what's most amazing is that in what at least has been reported to be a pretty straightforward draft resolution criticizing Iran, quite justifiably, for not cooperating with the IAEA and indeed obstructing its work, the Biden administration has been urging the Europeans, it's been reported in the press, not to go ahead with the resolution for fear of upsetting the Ayatollahs. And, you know, who knows what they may do then. Particularly, I think what the Biden people are worried about is a pre-election increase in gasoline prices. But it is the very definition of the world turned upside down for America to be restraining the Europeans at a UN agency from sending a stiff note to Iran.
So our European allies and the United States switched places. It reminds me of the old Elmer Fudd Bugs Bunny routine where they just is, isn't, is, isn't, and finally Bugs fools him to say isn't. That's what it feels like now, that the Europeans have switched places. But in switching places, do they have a plan at the White House? What happens next? Because Iran continues to be the author of the disorder in the Middle East and of the mass murder in Gaza.
Well, here's where the administration's real strategic blindness sets in, because as you say, it's perfectly obvious to careful observers that it's Iran that has trained and equipped and armed and given intelligence and finance and direction to Hamas, as it has to the Houthis in Yemen, who have closed the Suez Canal Red Sea transit route, to Hezbollah in Lebanon, which has been rocketing northern Israel almost every day since October the 7th, to the Shia militia groups in Syria and Iraq that have attacked American military and civilian positions in those two countries over 170 times since October the 7th. It is Iran that's the puppet master here. This is their ring of fire strategy. And the idea that you're trying to get a ceasefire in Gaza to prevent Israel from finishing Hamas off, that you're unwilling to really do something effective to prevent the Houthi rebels, for goodness sakes, in Yemen from violating every country's freedom of the seas, and on, just shows that the administration has lost the bubble on who's really responsible here. It's Iran that's the culprit, and yet they're unwilling even to pass a UN agency resolution. I mean, talk about innocuous steps. They don't even want to do that.
A puzzle, John, because we can see this same hesitation, reluctance, the old word was shyness, from the administration in Ukraine. Is the administration just committed to the idea that we will give our allies enough for them not to lose, but not enough to win? Is that the policy?
Well, I really think that's the pattern. I mean, I think that's exactly right. We don't want Ukraine to lose, but we're afraid of letting them win. And in this case, we'll provide Israel with missile defense and drone defense. We just don't want them to prevail over Hamas. And I think the underlying reason for this pattern is the fear that something will get worse internationally and it will reflect on the administration's failure. It was supposed to be the Biden administration that took over from the chaotic Trump administration, renewed our alliances and got things straight in the world. And in fact, although they made some progress with the admission of Finland and Sweden into NATO, it's the West that's really on the defensive now, and Ukraine on the defensive in the Middle East. And we haven't talked about it yet, but who knows, as China watches all this going on, we may find ourselves on the defensive along the Chinese periphery in the not-too-distant future.
Hezbollah. In the headlines, John, from Israel in these last 24, 40 hours, is that Hezbollah continues to up its ante by throwing more missiles and more threats to the northern frontier. And there are quotes in the Times of Israel and Jerusalem Post saying it's about time to make a decision. Something must be done. And there are quotes from the IRGC that we'll get you for destroying another general in Aleppo. Hezbollah is a completely different universe from the Gaza war, John. Is the Biden administration prepared for that, understanding that Israel is not secure as long as Hezbollah can rain those missiles down on the north?
No, I think all the administration wants to do is get this past election day in November, and then who knows what would happen. But the fact is, Iran can see that the pressure that the administration's really applying here is not on Hezbollah to stop rocketing northern Israel or Hamas to, you know, stop acting like a medieval barbaric terrorist group like they are. The pressure's all on Israel. So from Iran's point of view, this is just fine. I think the pressure internally from the Israeli people to do something about their fellow citizens excluded from their homes and businesses 6, 7, 8 months now in northern Israel is getting pretty acute. I think the administration is really fundamentally misreading Israeli public opinion on their desire to be free of terrorism. And by the way, just in case they haven't seen the public opinion polls in Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu's popularity is rising, and he now leads opposition leader Benny Gantz in polls if there is a new election, which a number of leading Democrats have called for. Very, very ironic how the Israeli people, as angry as they were at Netanyahu and his government for missing the October 7 attack, prefer him now over the opposition.
My memory of college football and professional football in the 50s, 60s and 70s was something called a prevent defense. And you remember, John, every time they put it in, they lost the game or it came near two. Is that the Biden administration, prevent defense, and the enemy is scoring touchdowns?
Yeah, look, I think their time horizon is limited to our election in November. I think they think if they can just keep things calm until then, they can yet win. I don't know what they base that on, but that seems to be what they think. And that just plays into your adversary's hands, because as they see the desperation in the White House not to have a catastrophe happen in these last critical months before November, the bargaining price for satisfying that need goes up and up. So it feeds into our adversaries, not into our own strength.
And your measure right now of the administration's approach towards Russia, towards Iran, it's softly, quiet. Is that the way they're talking to them?
Yeah, well, indeed, they have been sending emissaries up to and including the director of the CIA, still desperately trying to negotiate a ceasefire deal in Gaza, where the only deal that Hamas wants is a permanent end to the Israeli Defense Forces presence there, which the Israelis are never going to agree to. They are importuning the Iraqis in places like Oman and elsewhere in the region to urge them not to do anything.
Right.
And our adversaries read that as weakness, and they're right to do so.
John Bolton, writing at the Wall Street Journal about the switching places with the Europeans who want something done about Iran's threats, and the U.S. says not now. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.